I'm originally from New York, and I moved to South Carolina last year. Probably the move was probably definitely part of having this surprise. It just, the relationship with my mom really kind of fell apart, and I needed to really distance myself from it at that point.
Welcome to Season 4, Episode 5, Jessica's Mini Dads. This is Missing Pieces, MPE Life, and I'm your host, Don Anderson. Just want to say happy holidays to everyone. It's December 30th, 2023, as I record this. Don't know when you're going to be listening to it. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve, and it also is my anniversary tomorrow. Lisa and I will be married 19 years tomorrow. I'm a very lucky man. And by the way, if you have not done this yet, could you please rate this podcast? And furthermore, if you could leave a review, that would be amazing. It really helps get the word out. And I love hearing from you guys, so please leave a review. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please click follow in the upper right corner. That's how you subscribe. That way you won't miss any episodes. Have you noticed all the TV shows that have MPE plots? It's crazy how many there are. And when I come across one, I've been sometimes posting about it on Instagram. So you can follow me there at NPE_live_podcast. You can leave a message for me there also. Or you can email me at donnpe@icloud.com. So let's get back to Jessica. I'll let her tell you her story.
So I grew up with my mom and my, like, from when I was young, I grew up with my mom, my dad, younger sister, and then my cousin came to live with us via adoption. Her mom had passed away, but she's my oldest sister. It's been so long now. So we ended up, once they divorced, it was basically the three of us together.
Okay. And how much separation between you and your younger sister?
2 years. Two to two and a half years.
So was your dad in your life after that?
He was in our life until my mom remarried, at which point she sounds kind of crazy, but she basically moved with us to California without telling him that she was moving with us to California. We didn't even know we were moving to California. We just kind of got there. Like, we woke up in the car Thanksgiving night and we were on our way to California. And at that point, we ended up kind of realizing, well, I realized because I was the older one that there was something kind of going on. And then by like Christmas, we were allowed to have very short, very, very quick phone calls with family on my dad's side. So it was like a really quick, like, Merry Christmas, Grandma, and she would hang the phone up, which I now realized was that she didn't want the phone, I guess, traced.
Why do you think she was acting like that, your mom?
I feel in a lot of ways, my mom was the type of person who didn't want to be questioned about anything. And when she made a decision about something, that was it. She made the decision. Like, she was the one who decided to end the marriage when she did. We were young too. My sister had only been about 6 months old when she ended the marriage. I guess there's a lot of little things, you know. It was just her. It was something that progressed over the years and continued with her behavior. You know, over the years, like, you know, because my stuff kind of started about when I was like 5 or 6. And I was a very easygoing child. So I wasn't the one who ever like blamed her for anything, where my sister would be more the one who, as she got older, held a lot of things against her, where I didn't hold things against her. I kind of was just like, I just always wanted to just know things or have my feelings recognized, I guess to say. So we were very different children in that sense. So when I would hear something, like if I felt like I was finally being told the truth on something, I'd be like, okay, great. Like, keep it moving kind of person. That's kind of always been who I was until I wasn't. But, you know, I guess that was like the main difference between me and my sister. And it's also been like a little bit of the reason that we probably have issues between us, I guess, also as well, I guess, at this point.
Mm. And so what ethnicity did you grow up as or thinking you were?
I was raised to believe that I was Irish and Italian. My mom is 100% Irish. My grandma, she's first generation American. And I was raised to believe that I was Italian, but I stayed Italian for a while, but I never could find out like what type of Italian I was.
What does that mean, you stayed Italian for a while?
When I was about five, I had some nightmares. And at that point, my grandmother, I used to basically kind of like live with my grandmother, my mom's mom. And I was crying about something to do with my dad at the time. And I'll never forget my grandmother's words exactly to me were, "Oh, Lassie, stop your crying. That man, he ain't even your father." And I remember it just like hitting me. And, you know, the next time that I was at my mom's house was like over that weekend. And she just blew it off and said that my grandmother, that's something that my grandmother tells everybody, that she would have told my older sister, who was her brother's, you know, daughter, that he wasn't her father. Like, she kind of like just blew it off and made my grandmother out to be the liar in the situation. And but it always stuck in my stomach about it. You know, like it didn't 100% sit well with me, because I never found my grandmother to be a liar, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. You're basing it on evidence.
And her reaction to my grandmother telling me that was she pulled me away from my grandmother. So my entire life completely changed. So I went from going to Catholic school, dance classes, piano lessons, to living in the house with, you know, with her, now my older sibling, my younger sibling, and going to public school in Queens. So it was a huge adjustment as a young kid. And like I said, I moved back in, and there was all of a sudden, it was, then she was with who would become her next husband, who would be my stepfather at that point. So
you said something, when I went back to living with my mom, did you live with your grandma for a while?
I basically lived with my grandmother most of the, like, I lived with her pretty much all week, and then would go home on the weekends. But sometimes I would try to like just stay at my grandmother's.
Oh, okay.
And not go home, because it was a little chaotic, you know. And like I said, my mom, you know, she, you know, now all of a sudden she had this other guy living in the house, and I was a little upset about that. I didn't care for him. I knew early, it was pretty obvious to me early on that he had a drug problem, and it just wasn't where I wanted to be. And I, like I said, I enjoyed the things that I got to do with my grandmother. You know, like I said, you know, we went to church. I enjoyed that. I went to, like I said, dance, piano, all the things that my grandmother wanted me to experience. My grandmother was, very cultured. Because of the first job that she had when she got to this country, she worked for a very affluent New York family, and she stayed very good friends with them until her passing. And it was just something that she passed on to me, so it was more enjoyable for me to be with my grandmother.
What your grandma told you, that Lassie's not even your dad, did that kind of stick in your head forever?
Yeah, it definitely stuck with me forever. And it was something that I would often bring up to my older sister. And my older sister just wouldn't say anything about it, but she always listened to me. Like, she like always heard me, but just didn't speak on it, kind of thing. And it stayed with me. And then we ended up, my mom at some point realized that the whole California thing, it just wasn't working. I think As I got older, I found out that the reason that we had moved to California was because my mom was under some impression that if we moved to California, that her husband would stop using drugs. But clearly there are drugs in every state. So when she realized that, you know, moving him from the place wasn't stopping the actions, we did come back in about a year. However, because she was, again, like I said, she was married at that point. So my aunt, it ended up that my aunt was able to, my father's sister was able to see us, but it was like, I don't think she was allowed to tell my dad where we were, kind of thing. Mm. So when we came back, we moved to like a completely different place, but I didn't see my dad again until I was in my teens. But by the time we had moved into a different house, I had found a box. I remember opening it and it said divorce papers on it. And I just happened to open the package and look at it. It was my mom and dad's divorce papers. And I noticed the marriage date. And the marriage date was like 2 years after I was born. So I remember, you know, at that point, still believing my mom, but I was very upset. I was like, oh my God, I was born out of wedlock. Like, how could this happen? This is horrible. You know, like I was like so blown away by it. And I called my sister immediately, my oldest sister immediately, told her what I found. And, you know, she is almost 10 years to the day older than me. So she did call my mom and tell my mom that I found it. I was probably about 13 at that point. And, but it just kind of got swept under the rug. Like, I think my mom may have even told me, like, that happens with a lot of couples, that they have children and, you know, they get married after that, you know, wasn't like, it wasn't as big of a thing that I was making it out to be, basically. And then I remember probably about 3 years after that, because it definitely still triggered me a little bit. And again, I've always had that thing in my belly about what my grandmother said. And I remember having a conversation with my stepfather, now my stepfather at the time. And I had asked him when him and my mom had broken up, because I knew that they had dated when they were younger and had been engaged and they had broken up. So he kind of told me that they broke up in October of 75. So, I mean, again, I was 16 at that point. So it wasn't like rocket science for me to make the jump of October to July, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think the next time we spoke, he kind of had said to me, we were alone in the house and he had asked me like, hey, can I talk to you? So I, you know, jumped up on the counter and I was like, yeah, sure. What's up? And he was like, look, I know you've been asking these questions for a long time, so I'm just going to tell you that I'm your father.
Mm.
So, but again, with my personality, all I wanted was the truth. So I was like, okay. He's like, you're all right with it? I'm like, yeah, I just wanted to know the truth. You know, I didn't feel at that point. I think the first time I went around my dad, who I believe to be my dad, and his family, who was always my family, my aunts, my cousins, you know, everybody, that anything that I knew, I feel like the first couple of times that I was around them, I felt very awkward. And my aunt must have noticed my body language. And my aunt is just the most amazing woman. She always has been. She basically turned around and told me that I'm the one who just found out, but that they always knew and they always loved me. So nothing changed for them. So that really made me feel like amazing. You know what I mean? Because I was like, okay, nothing changed. You know, like I just know now, like I was good with it. You know, at that point I did, you know, find out a couple of things, like, you know, I found out that the reason, like, I always wondered why my birth certificate looked different than my sister's. Like, my sister had like the original full birth certificate with the feet on the back of it, and I had like a smaller one. But then I ended up finding out that the reason for that was because my mom had originally not put any father on the birth certificate. But when you're under a year old, you're able to make those changes without going through a whole court process. So at that point, they just changed my last name and added my dad, who I believed was my dad, to the birth certificate. So now it was both of their names on it. My dad, like, he never wanted me to know any of this, you know, kind of thing. And I'm sure that I would, if you were to ask him today, he would say that exact same thing. Like, he, if it was up to him, this secret would have never, ever come out. Like, as far as he is concerned, I am his daughter. That was it. He made a decision. I'm his daughter. And if it was up to him, it would never have happened, kind of thing. But then when I was getting, when I had gotten, yeah, when I was about 25, I was getting married, and my fiance at the time, he was adopted. So, and my dad had my now, who I believe was my bio dad, who's no longer my stepdad anymore. He passed away when I was 19. So now I started having like so many medical questions, you know, because I'm thinking about having kids and whatnot. And I'm thinking, I don't know this guy's whole story. And now I only basically know, you know, half of mine. So I started like asking my mom a lot of questions. Like, I even started saying, like, you know, what kind of Italian am I? Like, what was, you know, he? And she would just say, like, oh, he's Baez. Like, but I mean, she would just come up with these things. Like, and meanwhile, when I spoke to his sister one time, they weren't even Baez. So, like, that was kind of like weird. So
I don't know what that means.
That was the type of Italian he was.
Is that like a region in Italy?
Yeah, like Bari is like Bari is a region in Italy.
Oh, okay.
And I had grown up thinking that I was I thought I was Sicilian and Napoli Don, but then like it changed into being Barez all of a sudden. I really kept like questioning it, and then I remember needing. Like when I was getting ready to get married, I needed my paperwork for for my baptism and stuff like that, because I had wanted to get married in church. And I remember my mom like being like, oh, I'm going to get it. Like, you know, don't worry, I got it. Like, she was being super helpful about it. And then we ended up deciding to get married on location. So I ended up not needing it. But my mom had told me that I was christened at one church. So I guess that was, you know, now I ended up finding out that it was actually because I really wasn't christened at that church. So after I had my son in 2003, I had a long talk with my older sister, and I said to her, you know, I don't know why I'm like, but I just can't let this go. And it's really eating at me, but I really don't believe her. And at that point, my sister, I guess, just had like enough with it. And she said to me, I can tell you, because she would have been 10, around 10 at the time, 9, 10. She said, I remember mommy being pregnant, and I remember the man, and it was not your dad. It was not him at all that was there.
So not your first dad or your second dad?
Not my first or my second.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? And she's like, it was not either one of them at all. And I knew she wasn't lying, because I remember that my mom used to take her horseback riding all the time. So I found that to be like, I knew she wasn't. Yeah. And she would never lie to me about it. So at that point, she again called my mom and was like, she's coming to your house and you be prepared for it. Like, you know, basically to warn her. So, and I also had spoken to her best friend who I was extremely close with, who I called Aunt. And, she was actually my sponsor for my confirmation. And I had tried to see if I could get anything out of her. And, she was like, you have to talk to your mom. So I was like, okay. So at that point, I had gone over to her house and I was like, look, this is no longer about me. I have a child who at this point, I literally only have know one piece of what I know from your family history, and that's it. And I just need to know more. Like, I need to know at this point. So she said to me, okay, fine. This is who your dad is. And she said a completely different name, a name I'd never heard of ever. And she told me, but he's dead. Like, that's how she immediately followed it up with, but he's dead. So I was like, okay. So I immediately left her. I also, at that point, she had told me where I was really christened. And she had told me that the reason was because his name was on my baptismal certificate. And she proceeded to tell me, like, that he knew and this, that, and the other thing. And I went and I got a copy of my baptismal certificate then. I requested it and I proceeded to do like a deep dive on him and his family, like a research. And I'm very research driven. So it didn't take me long to find his family. And they actually had no idea where he was. It turned out that he had been a drug addict as well. Her excuse was that my stepdad told me that he was my father because he didn't want me to basically have another drug addict in my life. Like, why should I have two when I already had him? So he just said he was my father. Like, so she really kind of put the whole onus on him, like took no responsibility for it. Like, she was like, she kept pointing out how she wasn't there. She was told after the fact. And I did say to her, but you didn't correct it either. Like, you went along with it. And there was zero accountability for it. But again, my personality was more like, all right, now I know, and let me find out about these people kind of thing. So I did my deep dive. I came up with like who his sister was, who his, you know, brothers were and stuff like that. But again, oddly enough, his mom had a change of life baby. So one brother was really basically only 2 years old, he was 3 years older than me. And then I had an older uncle. And they actually even couldn't get it together about what kind of Italian they were. Like, the younger brother said that they were Sicilian and something, and the older brother never said they were Sicilian at all. And his children, I had become, you know, over time, we were really, really, really close. And, you know, we kind of had like a joke that, because he was extremely racist. So we kind of had a joke that, you know, they always say like Sicilians have African descent in them. So we kind of made a joke about the fact that, oh, he must not want to admit that we're Sicilian because he doesn't want to admit that we potentially could have African blood in us. And at that point, I had also found out that my now new bio dad, I'm on my third, you know, dad at this point, he had had two sons that I was told they were given up for adoption, but his family just dropped them off at CPS one day, and they were basically in the system their entire lives until they aged out. They didn't really know anything. Like, the boys actually had different last names. They didn't even know that they were full siblings, which was crazy. Like, I thought my story was crazy. And then I met them and I was like, wow, they're, you know, I guess their story's even crazier, you know? So years had gone by and, you know, now I had like nieces with them, nephews with them. And I never like left any of my families. Like, as I found out these new ones, like, I still always considered, you know, my stepfather's daughter and a son, like siblings, I guess, you know, because when you think about them being siblings for a decade, I basically at that point had a new dad each decade. So I just kept it moving, like I said. And again, never having any arguments about it. I just kept it moving. So during COVID, actually, when it sounds like this happened to so many people, I did Ancestry DNA because I had actually asked my cousin, who's my dad's son at that point. I mean, my dad's brother's son. I had asked him, like, you know, what are you doing to stay busy right now? You know, because we had watched every show you could imagine. And he had said that he was building a tree on Ancestry. So I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. So I did it. And he had come over for my birthday in July to see me. And he looked at my tree and he was like, oh God, you're so type A. You've got like literally pictures of everybody on here and everything. And I did like both sides of everything. And I had also still had like my stepdad in there, who I'd been raised by, that whole family was on there. So he had said to me like, hey, have you ever considered doing Ancestry? He's like, because if you do it where we connect, I'll get your family tree and I don't have to do any of this anymore. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. Because now maybe we'll find out what kind of Italian we are.
Wait, one second. Did his DNA was already up there?
Yeah. And I didn't think to just ever ask him about that, because I guess it comes up like different regions or something maybe. So maybe he didn't have like 100% of an idea. But for some reason, I'd never asked that question. All of a sudden, like, you know, I do it. And then by now it's like, you know, the end of August, you know, mid to end of August. It was August 22nd.
What year is this?
2020. August of 2020. Yeah. Because it was right in the COVID. That was that first COVID summer. So I had gotten the alert that my results were in. That night, I remember I took a shower and my husband had fallen asleep. And, you know, my husband kept kind of joking, like, maybe you'll do the test and find out that your mom's not your mom. Like, I think that's what he was hoping for. So he had fallen asleep. So I kind of was like, all right, I'll look at it tomorrow. But then I just happened to get a text message from my cousin about he was completely asking me something else. So when I got out of the shower, I was like, hey, are you up? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm going to call you. So I took my phone, I went downstairs and I called him and I was like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm like, he's like, oh, I had a question. And he completely asked me something else. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I thought you were calling me because my results were in. And he was like, oh, he's like, I didn't get an alert about anything. And I said, oh, but that's because your thing is private, remember? And he's like, no, my tree's private, not my DNA. And I was like, oh, and he's like, all right. And he was like kind of walking me through the app at that point. So he's like, all right. So it immediately went to like the relatives part. So I was like, I saw like a couple of people, but I didn't know who they were. They were like, there was one that was kind of like a username. There was one that was definitely a girl. And then I saw my mom's sister's daughter. So I was like, yeah, I don't know who these people are. And he was like, no, go over to the nationality part. So I was like, okay. So like now I'm like going up. And then like all of a sudden I see like 0% Italian. So like at this point, I already in my soul knew there was a problem. So I was like, all right. I'm like, and I think at that point I started crying. And he was like, why are you crying? And I was like, I'm not Italian. And he was like, what do you mean you're not Italian? I was like, I'm not Italian at all. And now I'm like going up and he's like, go all the way to the bottom. It'll say like it'll kind of like summarize like what nationality you are. And when I got down to the bottom, it said that I was Puerto Rican and Irish, basically. So I was like, I literally had him on the phone probably till about 4 a.m, just hysterical crying. And he was like, don't start messaging these people. I was like, no, I'm getting to the bottom of this. I need to know what's going on. This has to be wrong. I mean, as soon as Ancestry opened, I called them. I mean, I must have called them so many times that I swore they had my phone number, my face on the wall as like a bad client. Like, don't even pick up. So at that point, that same day, I ordered the 23andMe kit. So I made my ex-husband come to the house and he got there. And when the kits came, I told him to come to the house. The kits came. I did him and I also did my son. And he was like, well, why am I involved in this? I said, because I'm done and I want to know who everybody is now. And he was like, what? I was like, oh, no, I want to know who everyone is. because at that point also we had a second child, and my daughter was handicapped. And, you know, when she had gotten diagnosed with seizures, they specifically asked us if either one of us was Ashkenazi Jewish or potentially like anything from any islands, because that had an increased risk of having seizures, to which we both answered no. So I told him, like, you're doing it. Like, I didn't really give him much of an option. And I did my son. So then when those results came in, it completely confirmed, obviously, that I was Hispanic and Irish, because my son was Hispanic and my son was Hispanic and Irish. And I was actually able to figure out my ex-husband's maternal, who his mother and father were, within like 3 days of just sitting and like drawing it out. And I figured out who's there. And in the meantime, I did speak with people on my dad's side, and all of a sudden it was like,
brothers. Which dad?
Well, now I had a biological father who fell on the Hispanic side.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, okay. So I had these cousins that showed up that were Puerto Rican. So I knew that they had to be on my father's side, because I had my one cousin show up on my mom's side. So I had messaged one of them, and they responded immediately. And she kind of didn't have a lot of information, but she knew how many siblings there were. And it turned out that there were two brothers. And I was like, okay, I'm like, are they both alive? Because I was just assuming that this would be a dead end. And she was like, no, they're both alive. And I just remember feeling my complete heart at that point fall out, because I was like, wow, this whole time I've had a dad and he's alive. So that quickly turned into like anger for the first time at her. Because I was like, all these years I've been asking and asking and asking. And now it explains why, when she gave me that third person's name, why, how quickly she said, oh, and he's dead. Like, she was stopping me in my tracks of ever trying to look further. And I just felt like, I was completely gut punched, because we were, like I said, my dad that I was raised with, the family is so traditionally Italian. And I felt like I was very much that same way in my own family now, like all the traditions, the things that we did. And now all of a sudden I felt like a complete fraud with everything. And I remember like one of my friends kept like saying like, oh, it doesn't, like, you know, the typical things that people say to you. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change you.
You're still Italian. Like,
yeah, you're still Italian. One of them even said, I'm more Spanish than you are. I speak it. I eat it. I eat it twice a week. And I was like, what? What does that mean?
We're talking about your bean intake.
Yeah, like, I was like, what do I have to have, like, you know, 90% rice and beans all week long to be Puerto Rican? Like, I don't even know what that meant, you know? I just remember, like, I remember feeling like I didn't even want to, like, talk to anybody at that point. You know, I was obviously talking to my older sister a lot, because I knew she would never, at that point, she would never have said a word to my mother, because I told her, I was like, I'm not saying anything to this lady until I have, like, I want to know who this guy is. I want to know everything that I could possibly know and present this to her before she could ever say anything.
So right now in this story, you're on biological father number 4, but you don't know who it is between these two brothers that the new Puerto Rican cousin right. told you about, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
Were they both... Well, just pick up the story from there. How did you, or did you, figure it out?
The two brothers were literally, one was the oldest and one was the youngest. So the youngest would have been super young, because my mother was actually older than even the oldest brother. So if she was with the younger brother, I would have been super creeped out then at that point. But like, I still wanted to know. But I wasn't able to really kind of get in touch with the older brother. I had sent him a message on Facebook. But again, you know, it goes to that like weird message spot if you're not friends with anybody.
Right. And Did he live in New York?
No, he actually lived in Florida. And the other one did live in New York. So I was able to get put in touch with him, and he was very willing to do the DNA test. I did know that the two brothers didn't have, like, you know, they weren't, like, close. Like, they didn't have, like, a good relationship kind of thing. So, but at that point, I did know how old he was. So I kind of just wanted, he was willing to do the DNA. And at that point, I just wanted to 100% rule him out, even though I kind of felt, there was a part of me that felt like he might be doing it just to, like, stick it to his brother, like, kind of thing. But, you know, I wasn't, again, I don't know their
any
dynamic,
means necessary.
Yeah, I just, at that point, yeah, I was finding out what I needed to find out at that point. At that point, I was able to, like, get some pictures of him, because now I put the names into my family tree. So, like, names started, you know, pictures and stuff started to come up. So as soon as I saw the older brother's high school yearbook picture, I was, like, completely blown away. It was literally identical to me. There was no question. Like, even to the point of it, like, my son at that point was, like, 16. And you could see that, like, the only difference was that my son was lighter. Other than that, they were, like, the same face, because my son looks just like me. So I was pretty sure at that point that it was the older brother. And then the uncle ended up popping up in as my uncle, not my dad, on the actual results. So I took the pictures, and, like, I remember inviting my mom over to the house. And I calmly, like, sat her down. I made her a cup of coffee. And I started telling her how, you know, I had done the tree. And I did the, that her cousin's children had reached out to me and said that they were, because my uncle had, her brother had passed away in April, the end of April in 2020. And they were all giving their condolences and whatnot. So I was telling her that. And so she was completely roped into the conversation. She was like, oh, that's so great. You know, oh, wow, that's interesting. You know, blah, blah, blah. So now I sat down in front of her and I looked at her and I said, oh, and you want to hear the craziest thing? And she was like, what? I said, I'm Puerto Rican. And she looked at me and she went, what? And I was like, yeah. And, you know, when I was younger, her and her best friend used to, like, make this joke about how, there was a Puerto Rican girl who was in the bed next to my mom when she gave birth, and that my mom used to swear that they switched the babies. But now I'm thinking, these two always knew the truth, you know, and that they were really making their inside joke, probably. They're, like, best friends since they're 13, inside joke about the fact that I was so dark and I didn't look like an Irish baby. So she just looked at me and was like, who told you that? That was her first response. Who told you that? So I was even kind in that moment, because I said to her, listen, if somebody hurt you, tell me and I'll leave this alone. Like, if something happens and there's a reason that you've made all of these lies up all of these years to keep this someone to wrap, tell me, because I'll leave it alone. And I'll be honest with you, I would have. And she looked at me, like, horrified that I even would suggest such a thing. And she was like, no, but she still would not admit anything. So I was like, what is this lady's issue at this point? You know, like, I couldn't understand, like, what the issue was. So I ended up finding out that my dad was a police officer and now he's Puerto Rican. So, like, I had spoken to my sister, and now I'm finding out, like, more and more, like, now I'm finding out that, you know, he had stuff to do with horses, like, and, like, all this crazy stuff. But, and I'm having the conversation with my older sister, and she's just like, this is insane. And she was like, well, you know, back in the day, you know, back in where they grew up in Brooklyn, like, it wouldn't have been popular to date a cop, like, with their friend group. She's like, but it also probably wouldn't have been popular to have, even if it was a one night stand, it wouldn't have been popular to have said you were a cop. And it definitely wouldn't have been you know, would have been frowned upon in the with the Irish, that they would have, because I know my aunt and my mom supposedly got heck for just being with Italians anyway, not being with Irish people at the time. So she kind of said, like, maybe it was one of those reasons that my mom just decided that it was better to just say it was in Italian and, like, leave it alone kind of thing. Especially since my dad raised me, was willing to, you know, basically adopt me and say I was his and keep it that way, and was willing to keep that secret for her. So we just assumed that was what it was, like, one of those two reasons. So I ended up, like, getting a phone call probably sometime in November. All of a sudden my phone rang, and it was my birth dad calling me for the first time. And I was completely, like,
what
I didn't
did he
even
say
know
when you answered?
Well, I was in the middle of homeschooling my daughter, who was handicapped at the time, and was, you know, she was quarantined from somebody in school. So I was like, I'm in the middle of doing this, but can I call you right back, please? Because I needed to, like, organize myself. I was so unprepared for this. And I've always been a very, like I said, I'm a type A personality, very strong. I'm not a crier. I'm not a freak outer. But this whole thing just, like, rocked me to the core, like you couldn't even imagine. So I felt like I just didn't even know who I was anymore, like, even to myself, my behavior and whatnot. So I remember, like, I finished up with her and I went upstairs and I called him, and I was like, he picked up and I was like, hello. And I remember just being like, this is so weird. Like, I couldn't believe I was on the phone with my dad. And at some point in the conversation, he did say to me, if your mom had told me she was pregnant, I would have married her. So I found that, like, interesting, because she kept saying that she had no idea about it. Her answer was straight. She didn't know what I was talking about. Like, she was not discussing it. It was not up for conversation. She just became like a brick wall.
And he remembered your mom?
Well, he said that, and we had a very brief conversation, because I think he planned his conversation because he was going out to lunch. So our first conversation was very brief. So he called me so that it wouldn't have probably been too long of a conversation, maybe in case I was a weirdo, who knew, you know? So it was a very quick conversation. He didn't really say anything. But after that, it turned out that his wife really did not take it well at all. Mm-hmm. So since then, he just always says he doesn't remember my mother. But like I said, he did make that first statement. So I don't know to this day, I'll be honest, if it's that just she's not going to handle it. You know, she wasn't handling it well at all. Like she basically said that if she knew he had a kid, she wouldn't have even married him kind of thing.
Yeah, my last episode was, or two episodes ago, was I had a woman found out her husband had an MPE daughter. And it was interesting getting it from that side, hearing it. But it's, you know, it's difficult for everyone, right?
No, absolutely. And I it's funny because I know the episode you're talking about, because I actually sent it to him. Because it's now a few years later, and I am not allowed in his home. My name is not allowed to be spoken. She's not having it at all. And I kind of sent it to him like, wow, like, see how this person handles it? Like, wish everybody could be like that. Like, seeing that the stepmother was the one who kind of really facilitated the dad to kind of take ownership of the thing from that, if it's the one that I believe I'm thinking of that you did.
Oh, no, you're talking about the one with the two girls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, this one, the whole thing is about the wife.
Oh, no, I'm talking about that one where I was, like, so impressed, like, with the way the woman had handled it.
Yeah,
I was like,
the
wow,
woman,
really...
she was from Florida, too. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, maybe, like, you know, I was thinking, like, maybe if she, like, but, yeah, no, the She's not budging, like, at all. It got to the point where, like, my mom, you know, especially, like, that first year, like, she would say to me, like, are you going to tell people you're Puerto Rican? And I was like, I, like, looked at her like she was insane, you know? Like, I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, are you going to tell people you're Puerto Rican? I said, I guess it's going to depend on how I feel, like, when I've processed this. I said, but at the end of the day, I am Puerto Rican. Like, I didn't have to eat, you know, 40 pounds of rice and beans a week to make me Puerto Rican, you know, based on what my friends had told me. But I kind of was like, if I feel like, if, you know, and especially if we're at a table and just having, like, conversation, like, why wouldn't, like, what would be the problem with me telling people that I'm Puerto Rican? Like, I just found it so odd. Like, she was so unsupportive, and it, and her negativity just was getting worse and worse and worse, to the point that, like, my youngest son, who was only, like, 7 at the time, he actually was like, stop coming here. All you do is make my mom cry.
Wow.
And that made me realize that this was actually taking, like, a toll on my kids. Started to realize it was getting super toxic. So once my son, we started taking him to, like, start looking at his colleges and stuff, I really started to think about moving. I mean, when my aunt, who I told you in the beginning, was so all about me and, like, my emotions with the whole thing, she was furious when this whole thing came out. Like, she was like, I cannot believe that this happened to you again. And then my dad had called me, and he was like, I can't believe that this is what ended up happening. Like, he just was blown away, like, that she would continue to tell me these lies about these people and let it happen. And they were all more upset for me. And, you know, I basically made the decision to, when my son went away to college, to pack up and move, basically, and move to a place that I didn't know anybody and be able to start my life and who I was on my terms. And that's how I ended up in South Carolina. And I don't speak to my mom at all. We have zero communication, which is healthy for me. You know, my little sister and I now kind of really don't talk. She's, you know, she's become where she's very close with my mother. They've had their, like, ups and downs, but now that's her person. They both live there, and, you know, kind of, God bless, I'm okay with it. I don't have any animosity towards anyone, but I'm just kind of, like, in my land right now, trying to do what's best for me and basically the feet under my table.
Did you have any siblings from your bio father?
Yes, he has one daughter, who we talk, we're not super close, but we'll talk, like, you know, she was definitely super supportive of it, you know, when she found out. Like, she was very happy, like, I guess she always wanted a sibling kind of thing. So she was, like, super supportive of it, you know, even to this day. Like, she's basically, her mom had said that I wasn't allowed to speak to her kids. She had told my dad, like, that I shouldn't be speaking with the kids. And she said no, like, she disagreed with that. And she wanted me to be able to have a relationship with my niece and nephew. If they were in the car with my dad, there was no reason why I couldn't say hello to them. So she didn't have any, like, freak out moment on it.
And is that her mom that he's still married to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if you said this or not, I'm sorry, but did he cheat on her?
No.
It happened before he was married.
That's why it's so wild. I probably would have been, like, maybe 8 when he even met her. So that's why it's, like, even more odd that she's so dug in on it. And I guess probably also, like, you know, my first husband had a son. So, like, I know what it's like to be a stepmother, you know, like, you know. And I guess, like, my issue is always, like, as a woman, like, how do you, like, you had a dad, you know, your daughter had a dad. Like, why do you have such a problem with me having a dad? Like, I don't want, like, believe me when I tell you, there is absolutely, like, there's nothing she could say that would come as any truth. Like, financially, I am well off. I do not need nor want for anything from anyone. You know, so that is definitely not a non-issue. I think at this point, I think that's the area that I've been struggling with lately. Because I guess there's a part of me that, like, I'm not saying, like, that I want them to have a problem or anything, but, like, I guess I just want him to, like, stick up for me. Like, I can't imagine that I'm not allowed to have dinner with my dad. You know what I mean? Like my dad can't cook me dinner. He can't invite me over. Like, it just seems so odd to me. And I guess there's just a part of me lately that I've been struggling with that a little bit. Like, even though, like, we talk a ton, and if she's not, like, but it's, we can only talk if she's not around.
Oh, so he sneaks talks to you?
Yeah. So, like, it's like, I'm not the other woman. I'm your daughter. You know, and I've definitely, and I am a pretty vocal person. So I have said that to him, like, so, like, it's just crazy. And he's like, I know, I wish it would change. But, like, I guess there's a part of me that I want to be like, sometimes I want to say, like, the change is only going to happen, like, if you, like, were to be, like, stand up a little bit with it. But I guess he doesn't, you know, I guess, you know, they've been married, like, over 30-something years. So he's not that willing to stand up, I guess, maybe, or he's just hoping it's going to change. And I don't see it changing. And it is a part of me that struggles with that a lot, because I don't get to see him, basically. You know, we don't get to have, like, the full relationship that I would want him to have with me. And and he feels the same way. You know what I mean? Like, you know, she was on vacation and we both kind of called it, like, he was on parole. Like, we were on parole for the week. I could call the house if I wanted. Yeah, I could have left a message on their voicemail. You know? But, like, as much as I can laugh about it, it does. I do have that, you know, there is a little bit of a pebble in my shoe on it too, which sometimes feels like it's becoming a boulder.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes I'm like, should I take a break? Like, maybe he needs to miss my presence for a little bit, since I missed his for 45 years, you know? But then I'm like, I can't do that to him. I really like him. You know, I've grown to really love him, but it's definitely odd, and you don't know what the right choices are with it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. But there is a saying, you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes.
Right. And that's how I guess that's how I feel, like, you know, because, again, there is the distance and whatever. And, like, meanwhile, like, they go to New York, you know, every Christmas. And, like, it would be just so nice. Like, he could make a pit stop here, come in, have dinner. Like, I'm a normal person. I cook. Like, I would, and he even will say that she would have loved, like, she would actually, if she'd give me a chance, she would actually love me, my husband, my family and my kids, you know? So I think, like, he struggles with that a little bit too, because he, you know, like, he can't even point out any reason why she would not like us.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. But, you know, I don't think it's going to change. But I don't know how much longer I'm gonna, I don't know. I, like I said, that feeling of, like, I'm not the other woman kind of thing. Like, you know, like, we, like, even today we joked, like, he said, like, write a book about, call it, like, car line conversations when he picks up his grandkid, like, we're allowed to talk then.
Wow.
Which, I mean, I laugh with him on the phone, but then there's a part of me that, like, I want to scream, like, that's not funny.
Yeah.
I was even close to him one time because my son goes to college in Florida. So I was not far from his house. I'm allergic to peanuts. And they switched the cookies out at the hotel from chocolate chip to chocolate chip peanut. And I didn't know that because they didn't change the sign. And I grabbed a cookie and was walking up to the hotel room with my best friend. And I completely went into an allergy attack. They had to call an ambulance, the whole thing. And when we were on the flight home from it, like, I looked at her and I was like, can you believe that my dad was like, look right there? Like, what if you needed to go back? And like, I couldn't have even called him in an emergency to like, come help me. And I felt like that was very like eye-opening to me on some level. So I guess like it's like funny because like I said, like I'd let her, like my mom, slide through all the lies for so many years that maybe I'm holding him a little bit like harder, like in my feelings, because like I just feel like I want to be like sure that I'm not, you know, I'm being treated the way I deserve to be treated.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
You were so funny. You're the one that like didn't know what a podcast was, kind of, right?
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, do I have to do my hair for this?
So don't know if you're keeping track, but that's 3 times an NPE, triple NPE, 4 dads, 4 decades. Wow, what a story. I'd like to thank Jessica for sharing her story with us today. The episode that she referred to, and the one that she sent her dad, is called Jackie and Shannon, Season 1, Episode 3. It's a good one. You should listen to it if you haven't already. And I will post it in the show notes as well. I'd like to thank Pixabay for allowing free downloads and royalty-free music on their website. Pixabay, check it out. Again, Happy New Year, and I'll see you in 2024 on the next episode of Missing Pieces, MPE Live. This is your host, Don Anderson. Thanks for listening.